Right. Okay. So do you, both, do you want to share something? Rebecca is really the only one who seems to be quite there at the minute.
This happened 2 weeks ago, and I didn't get an opportunity last time to ask about it. First of all, I really appreciate all that you're teaching us because it really helps, and we've been using a lot of the tools that you've given us. I had spoken previously about how the portal had opened down in the prayer room. Well, we had one finally open up in the main sanctuary.
Oh, good.
And I saw the staircase and I saw the angels, and one came down and stood beside me and had a golden urn with a lid on it. But I didn't know how to open it. I didn't know what to do, and I was, sort of puzzled because I was trying, but I didn't get that interaction. So we came home, we asked God about it, we asked the Holy Spirit about it, and didn't get any answers. And then I remembered what you said about, interacting directly. So when we went back that evening, I asked the angel directly, and he appeared again. And I asked what was the urn and what was in it. And he opened it for me, came and stood in front of me, and held it in front of my face. And you could smell the most wonderful fragrance. In fact, it was so overpowering that I opened my eyes and I looked around to see if some woman with a strong perfume was standing beside me. And there wasn't. And the angel said, "The fragrance of heaven." And that's all the interaction that I got. The next following week, my husband saw the staircase again. I had to work that day. So we know that it's open now. I really don't know what to do with the angel or anything. I mean, like I said, I tried to interact, and I thank you for, giving me helpful hints about that. But it was astounding. I just don't know exactly what to do with it yet.
Okay, well, I think in a sense, just keep interacting. And if it's like the fragrance of heaven, okay, what is the fragrance of heaven? What does that mean? And go back to, even with asking God, what is your fragrance? What does it mean, the fragrance? I mean, because in a sense, in heaven, everything has a fragrance. There is a fragrance which just you can, we think of it as smells that have nice or not so nice things with it, basically. But in reality, it's an expression of the atmosphere of heaven that God wants us to experience here on the earth. And you have a stairway or a gateway into that. And what I would encourage you to do is to go up the stairway yourself, go into the realm of heaven, and then bring the fragrance of heaven down. In a sense, why the thing was had a lid on it, because you have to open it. And what God wants is for you to be able to go into the realms of heaven. And when you're in a fragrant atmosphere, that fragrance attaches itself to you. And so then when you bring that back by stepping back into this realm, the fragrance of heaven's around you. And that fragrance may bring healing, it could bring revelation, it could bring hey, I'm on my face before God. It's like a sense of awesomeness, because that fragrance itself will begin to be felt by others. So it's sort of taking the thing to its thing. What we don't want is we don't want to be always trying to say, "Hey, God, will you come down?" Trying to bring heaven down or call heaven down. We need to go there, and actually then we bring it down in us or on us, when something to come out of heaven. Now, there are portals that open up, but the portals that open up, when God sends a messenger through, rather than, okay, well, that's the end of it, see it is, well, that's an invitation to come through the portal and experience that which the angel was giving revelation of. So you can actually experience the fragrance of heaven. And then you will have first-hand experience of what that is, you know. And I think that's a lot of these things are all about invitations to get a deeper personal engagement and involvement with those things. So that would be my encouragement. Next time you see the steps, walk up them. You know,
okay, great.
Okay. Right. You okay, Pam? We got you on there eventually.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, why I was having so much difficulty, but I am certainly glad to be here. Certainly. I didn't realize I was not muted too. Sorry.
Okay, it's all right. You okay?
Doing good.
Okay. Have you got anything you want to ask or share or do today?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
I saw a courtroom, and I'm not sure what it was, and I'm still asking, but it almost felt like a Supreme Court setting. There were several benches higher, and I was in front, and things were just being signed and handed, you know, rolled and handed to me. So I'm puzzled as to what court that is. I haven't gotten an answer yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like the Chancellor's Court to me, because that's where things get authorized and things get sealed and things get agreed. And there are different levels of chancellors. When I've been to the Court of Kings, there's a whole different dimension there where it's a legislative place where we begin to bring legislation rather than have legislation agreed. So that's what it would sound to me like. I mean, chancellors, there are different levels of chancellors. You know, there are the high chancellors who have their houses, and there are 12 of those high chancellors who have houses, and they are very significant in the future government that's coming out of heaven. But there are other chancellors who there's been a bench of three or four of them, depending on different times, and I've usually presented stuff to them, and they've usually sealed those things and then released them back to me with an authorization which carries judicial authority to outwork. And some of it is just, again, you know, what was the purpose of it? Was there something you were given? Therefore, what were you given? And that's the key, because then you have judicial authority from a chancellor to outwork that. But that's in the realm of the Kingdom of Heaven, and has a parallel with the scribes' court, which is where things get put into record.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was really just at that point asked to just carry, and they were just piling all the stuff on in my arms, and I was carrying it. So I'm like, okay, and I'm believing. Well, I know I'll get more understanding. It's different places. It's very interesting.
Yeah, well, there's lots of new things and new experiences and engagements for us to come into, and sometimes we just get these forerunner things just because they begin to open us up to pursue them. You know, that for me is what happens a lot of these things. There's the mysteries that God has that He wants us to pursue, so they come into the light, and then we begin to administrate revelation through them and for them.
Then you get in His presence and you want to talk about stuff, but it's all mushy and, you know, all that stuff just, you know, you just sit and talk and you forget, oh, I meant to ask about this and I didn't ask about that. So Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta have another sit down powwow, hopefully today.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I do have another question. What is, have you seen this, it's almost, you know, the term delta that's been going around, it's this four-sided triangular thing, but it was an gemstone like an amethyst, but it was shaped triangular, and it was put in my hand, and it actually went into the hand to my arm and rested right at my elbow, on my right forearm. And I mean, I'm still aware, kind of like where it is in my arm. I can sometimes feel it. And I'm really puzzled by that. It's another big, huge question. I haven't.
Yeah.
Haven't had a chance to get an answer.
Well, I know the whole delta thing that people are engaging is essentially is what the priest did, high priest did. And I think there's this sort of where they put their thing together into this sort of shape, and then I think they spoke through it, and they spoke the blessing from Numbers 6, you know, that his face would shine on you and his countenance would be lifted upon you, and it's a blessing, you know, and it was a release of the blessing and favor of God onto the people. That he spoke through that window, if you like, out of heaven, and you could see that sort of four-sided thing would be a representation of the four faces of God. So speaking out of the four faces of God to pronounce blessing and favor, and the fact that it was given away into your right hand is an indication of the authority and power, because Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. And we sit on the right hand of Jesus, and therefore our right hand is free. And our right hand is the symbol of governmental authority and power to bless. So I would sort of hazard a sort of interpretation of that is that God is preparing you to be able to release blessing over people or over situations or places from a perspective of speaking out of God's presence in the realm of the ark, and then the authority that you have to do that is going to be increased. That's what I would see from that. The nature of it in terms of the purple color, you know, amethyst is sort of a purple, you know, again is about royalty and royal authority and kingship. But also, if you think about the purpley color in terms of the seven spirits of God, then you're looking at the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So you may see that there may well be a thing of the pronouncements or the things that you make may well bring people into a place of accountability for the blessings that have been released to them. Because we've been given blessings, we're accountable and responsible for what we do with those blessings. And so, you know, it may be that there's a part of that which is an accountability for people's blessing, and what are they doing with it? That may have the authority to begin to release. If that makes sense. Okay. Excellent. So, anything else? I don't know if Charita is there. Have you got anything, Charita?
Yeah, can you see me? I don't see myself. I just see my picture.
Okay, well, we've just got your picture as well, but we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. My computer is acting weird. I had a question about, I was listening about the Maserat, about the stars, and about the 12 houses, and each house is a person, is a man who we supposed to be engaging, especially in your birth time. Like, for example, if you are in October or September, you got to engage with the man representing the house of that month. Can you tell me more about how can I engage that? Like in my month, how we do to engage with each house, you know, the stars house.
Yeah. I have sort of a different connection with the 12 houses, which are the 12 chancellor's houses that I see in a sense of I've been engaging with them slightly differently to that. I'm not saying they're the same, possibly. I mean, I know the Maseroth and the whole house signs in the heavens represent the story of God written in the heavens. But there's also a sense where we are to bring the government and the light back into the star systems and to bring a restoration to what has been robbed by the enemy in that. I personally haven't engaged with that. I think you can, if you want to know where you can engage in the stars, you can go to Wisdom's Heights, and there's a door there that goes into the stars. I personally have not felt any need to engage in that that way. I may well have engaged with in my destiny in other ways in that potentially. So I can't really comment personally by experience. My connection with the 12 houses is different, and that is much more governmental. And I've been to most of the 12 chancellors, high chancellors' houses, which are, they have chief chancellor angels that, you know, that administer in there. But there's a protocol and a function and an order to those houses that I'm just beginning to work through myself and through experience. So I never really like to talk about anything that I've not personally experienced. So, you know, I've been into the stars, but I've not engaged with the 12 houses of the stars because I've just been engaging in other things when I've gone through there. But it's not something actually that draws me particularly at this point in time. So, you know, it's like, you know, what is it that you're looking to engaging there? If it's a question of needing to understand a protocol, I would ask Wisdom. Wisdom is always good to ask when it comes to a protocol of engagement in anything. And we also there's a counterfeit to every reel, and of course the whole horoscope type thing is a counterfeit, and there is some reality in the stars and the purposes of the stars, and we know stars are there as governors and signs. There are signs in the stars, and there is history written in the stars, and the whole redemptive picture is in the stars, without a doubt. So, in a sense, there is something more to be discovered. And there's a good book that I think is a link to it on our website that you can download for free and look at, written about the different stars houses and how they represent the picture of redemption, the story of redemption. But as for personally engaging, no, I haven't. So I can't really comment any more on that, I don't think. But ask Wisdom. That would be my counsel. Yeah.
I will ask Wisdom now because I was in a class and they were talking about how to reprogram the stars. You know, because like you were talking earlier about the horoscope, how the enemy have use the stars against the will of God, and they're like they want to be free. So we have the power to set them free and to align them and reprogram them to start reducing the will of God and to work not against us but with us. So I just learning about that, and I thought it was pretty interesting. And before, Wisdom has been taking me a lot to the stars and just, you know, teaching me to do different things with planets and stars. But I never engaged with the councils of the 12 houses, so I was kind of wondering if you're supposed to wait and be invited, or you're supposed to go and engage, you know, like by faith.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go to anywhere I wasn't invited at that level. I was taken there by wisdom, and I was given a chancellor's seal to be able to access those houses. I think there's a problem in people are releasing revelation without the maturity to be able to help people engage it properly. And yeah, there is a function about rewriting the stars and to reorder the stars, but that's a high level function. It's not something that people should be trying to mess with when they're learning to rule on their own mountain. My question would be, you know, is a person on their own mountain, and are they ruling their seven mountains? Have they been operating and given authority and kingship to have a wider sphere of government as a bench of three anywhere in any situation? If anyone's not doing that, then I wouldn't be looking at higher levels of governmental authority, because people aren't actually outworking their current level of governmental authority. You know, there is a process. That process comes from Zechariah 3. It's like, you know, walk in his ways here, then you can begin to administer the principles of his law there in the realm of the kingdom of God. Then you can begin to have charge of his house, and then charge of the courts, and then have access to stand amongst those in the assembly of God who will do some of the things that you're talking about. And I think some people are releasing revelation about things that they don't actually function in. And that's dangerous. I would not be looking to release revelation that I am not functioning. That's why I'm not talking about the protocols and the functions of the 12 chancellor's houses, because I am beginning to learn and engage in them so that I will have an understanding of the protocol that then I can release. And yeah, I've had experiences in some of them, and they've been really interesting, and that's led me in a particular direction to find revelation, which I'm doing. But I certainly wouldn't be wanting to try and encourage people who aren't operating in a governmental sphere to be able to try and do it. Because you can't just go into a court and do things without knowing the protocol of that court and having a judicial authority. You know, I couldn't go into the Court of Kings until I was given an orb and invested with authority on a mountain to have access into that court. And even now, it's like, it's not something I take lightly. You know, wisdom showed me the protocol, took me through the process, you know, establishing a law, getting the law authorized in the Chancellor's Court, getting it written into law in the Scribe's Court, and then begin to minister it in the Angelic Court and on my mountain. Once I was given the protocol, then I felt free to release that protocol to others who were operating in kingship. No, you just can't go to the Court of Kings if you fancy it. It's like, if you're not operating in kingship and if your maturity levels aren't in that area yet, you can't do it. You know, I mean, I have reordered some stars at the edge of the galaxy. I've birthed something out of my spirit at the edge of the galaxy as a forerunner experience. And I know those things are possible, and I know those are some of the things that we may well be doing. But I don't think people will be doing those things if they've not ruled their mountain in the outer court. You know, it's like there's a lot of stuff that we need to grow and mature in. And when we're faithful in little, then we can receive much. And I think a lot of people may be trying to do the much without having done the little, and they're trying to take a shortcut, and it is never going to work. You know, because people can be trying to usurp an authority that they have not been given. And I think there's a huge difference between having revelation of something, to know something is true, and having the wisdom to be able to exercise that revelation in practice. And I don't try and release any revelation that I've not got wisdom for. Otherwise, I'm just giving information to people that I may know something about, but I'm not actually functioning in. So I would be careful not to try and go to places because you know they exist by faith, when those places may be outside of your governmental spheres. right now. I'm not saying that you won't be able to go there, but be careful, you know. I know Ian Clayton used to say that he used to go to a court, and a couple of times he got pretty much slapped because he was trying to do stuff outside of protocol when he should have been observing. And, you know, we should observe what's going on unless we're taken there specifically to do stuff, you know. So, you know, some of these things are, they're just what the kingdom is like. You know, I can't walk into our Houses of Parliament and start making laws because I've not been elected as a member of Parliament. You know, you can't walk into your House of Representatives and start introducing legislation because you've not been elected. When you've been elected into it, then you have access to outwork the protocol of those places. You know, and anybody who starts talking about this stuff, I would be asking, are you on your own mountain? What governmental authority have you been released? Have you been authorized by the chancellors? I want to know, because I just don't want to, I just don't want to hear people's stuff without knowing that they are operating in it. And there's a danger. You know, Ian, in his conference at the weekend, when he was with the Burning Ones in Canada, you know, alluded to the fact that some people are taking his teaching and then trying to trade on it and teach it when they've not experienced it. And he said it's a dangerous thing to do because it's negatively trading on the wrong floor. You know, we have to, all that we do must come out of personal revelation and experience. So it's our destiny that we are outworking, not trying to outwork someone else to give us a position of government or a position of favor or blessing with others. And I would be cautious of those that are trying to teach people to do something that other people have taught and they've not done it themselves. And there are people out there doing that.
Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, that was good. Thank you so much. Yeah, you're right. I just was curious, but you're right. I need to watch out, and I always want to have my own experiences, lead by the Lord or lead by wisdom, and that's what I do most of the time. But because I was listening to the speech and I was curious and I want to know, but you just give me the right answer. So thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay.
I have a question. My husband and I have been working together, and we've gone to the courts, and we've gotten scrolls and mandates, and, you know, been outworking the process. He has done for years and never said anything to anybody because he didn't know what it was. And now you're giving us the answers to things that that's what that was, and that's what he had been seeing. But he was able to go to the Galactic Council one time. He operates a little bit higher than I do. I think he's in the King, and I'm still in the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lordship level. Have you had experience with the Galactic, able to go there, you know, evidently he, you know, was allowed access, so I didn't know enough about it to tell very much.
I did in one of the recent hangouts I posted, I think I did a whole thing on answering questions about the Galactic Council. I think it was a central group last week. So I went into it in quite a lot of detail. I have been there. And, you know, I have been invited to go there. Again, I believe that the 70 there should be those of our generation, and all of the 70 who are there aren't of this generation. Some of them are, some of the men in white linen, and some of them are some of the others, because we have not yet matured to that level of governmental authority over everything like that. I'm aware of the protocol of it, and I'm aware that it begins in February and they begin to function for 30 days or 28 days on certain patterns and procedures. When I first went there, because it's in the realm of heaven of heavens, above the realm of heaven, so it's a different atmosphere. First time I went there, it was so bright, or it appeared to be so bright, that I couldn't even see properly. I had to accustom my eyes to the atmosphere, if you like, you know, in a sense, because it just felt totally different, and it's almost like breathing a different sort of atmosphere in. But I believe God is preparing people and calling people into that level. I mean, it's some pretty serious level of holiness you need to be operating there. Because I think our government is proportional to the holiness that we're out working, and therefore there is some serious transformation that needs to take place for us operating in that level of government. Someone the other day sort of saw me operating in some level of authority and asked, was that the Galactic Council you were in? And I said, no, it wasn't. It was in this high Chancellor's court or house I was in when you saw me. It was really interesting to see how people see you, because they said I was dressed in this thing, and I was like, oh, God, that's interesting, because I'm not looking at myself, I'm just doing stuff. So it was quite interesting to see the description of when they saw me there, which was quite fun. But it wasn't the Galactic Council. You know, I have had an invitation a couple of years to go there, and I didn't feel I was ready to go there, and I went through sort of a dark cloud period of preparation, and it's not something I yearn for, so I'll wait and see what happens with that. I'm not totally in that place at the moment. I'm learning to engage 12 Chancellor's Houses, and that's my focus at the moment. Because I want to understand the 12 laws that come out of Zion, and the 12 laws that administrate heaven, and so my focus is very much around that. But you know, if he was invited there, if he went there, if it was a forerunner experience, great. Then there's something to look forward to. If there was you need to understand this is going on and this level of government is going on. If you go, you have to present your case. This I do know. If you get to go and present a case for the nations or a nation or something before the Galactic Council, you have to have a case. So it's like preparing a law case. This is the precedents. This is the things I can go and present there. You wouldn't just turn up and say, oh, can you do this for me? You have to have the biblical precedent. You have to have that in destiny, the purposes of God, so that you can come and present your case before the council for them to enact. You know, and it may be a limitation. You may have a call or a mandate for a particular nation, and you can go and present that mandate with your case that says, you know, to establish maybe a boundary stone or to establish a limit. But you certainly have to have a case, and I would not want to go there and not know what I'm doing. But it's good. So if he's been there, it may be just okay. If you're going to go back, make sure you go back knowing what case you're going to present and for what purpose. And then that's the sort of stuff they do. You know, and they're looking obviously for people to go and present cases, because most people have got no idea that it exists, and not a lot of it, not a lot of that is being done. It's mostly being done that they legislate certain things. But I think there is a time coming where more and more people will be able to access and present their case, and there will be more and more people who sit as the 70, you know. But that's not what I saw when I went. There weren't that many people there operating in the, well, I mean, the Heavenly Sanhedrin, I guess, is the another term for it, in terms of the Council of 70 or Galactic Council. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been practicing about expanding. When you expand and you are placing people in your heart, I think that's very awesome. But I had a question. I've been doing that from here. Can you do that from your mountain too? Like, from your mountain, from your position of rulership, expand too from that, from the heavenlies? I mean, I have not done that yet. I've been doing like more here, like covering family or covering regions or school, you know, in the area that I am. But I have not done it from my mountain, so that's a good question that I have. How you do it from your mountain, if you do it?
Okay. Yeah. You, in a sense, what you're doing is expanding the sphere of the kingdom government around your life as it's manifested within your spirit, as the kingdom within you, and as you open the first love gate and invite the king to come in. Obviously, you need your gateways open for your spirit to grow and expand around through your soul, encompassing your soul, and then through your body to create an atmosphere around you and around the things that you carry in your heart. You have no governmental authority towards that which you don't carry in your heart, so you have to begin to look into those things, places, people, so that they are something that you've cultivated the desire of God for, not our desire. His desire for them and for that their redemptive purpose and for their calling and destiny to be released. I find that is more effective when I take it into the presence of God around the ark and I take that with me, and then I would receive mandates towards it because I've cultivated the desire, and when I then step into his presence to look into what was. So I'm looking into what is his heart in eternity for this region, person, thing. And as I get revelation of his heart, then I receive a mandate to begin to administer that, and it's that which I take to my mountain. I begin to decree or to declare or prophetically release angels because I carry a government and I have a mandate towards that within my life because I've cultivated the desire in the presence of God for his heart for it. You know, and then the authority then when I go to my mountain, it's like it's slightly different in that it's like a river flows out of me. And that river flows down the mountain and through an everlasting door into the earth. And which is different from what you do here on a day-to-day basis, and you manifest the kingdom around you in a tangible sense of the atmosphere of God's rule as it's coming through you. When you're ruling in administrative authority in the realms of heaven, you can do that through an everlasting door and see the river. And quite often I have different colors of river that come out depending on the color of the stone of the crown that I'm wearing. You know, the crown that I wear has 12 stones and 12 colors. And sometimes the river flows out of a color, because when I'm around the presence of God, then I absorb the fragrance, the atmosphere, the color, the frequency of his vibration into those stones, if you like, which representing my spirit, and then they get released on my mountain and they flow out as a river. The colors of the river representing the colors that vibrate in the stones that just I draw from the mandates that I'm given. My spirit just does it. I mean, I can't tell you how cognitively. I just know my spirit releases the river according to the mandates, and it just flows out. And then I command an everlasting door to be open so that that can be manifested on the earth. But that's, you know, that complements what we do. But we have to take those things into our heart and to the realms of heaven to be able to do that. That makes
Thank
sense.
You. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I well, sorry. Hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, we can definitely practice it, you know, practice growing our spirit, seeing our spirit encompassing our soul, and then our soul in agreement with our spirit in unity, coming around us, engaging with people according to the destiny of God. And it, of course, it's not just a well, we just do this as for fun. It's like we're looking to engage the will and purpose of God out through and around our lives. And it's like a symbol of like the river of living water that came out of the temple, and it got deeper and deeper till it brought life where it went. And you know, as our spirit and the Holy Spirit are beginning to flow as one, it's supposed to bring life. And that's what we should be looking for the engagement in. But of course, we only do what we see the Father doing. So we need to have an engagement with the Father to know what he's doing in the realms of heaven, so that we can release that as a gateway of heaven through our lives on the earth. You know, and that complements being in the realm of heaven on our mountain, administering the kingdom from there. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, it's funny because I didn't know some of the answers you are giving me. I didn't engage, and I don't even know I was engaging until you start saying it. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah, I can tell you, I've been in situations where I've walked into activity, even though I recognized some of the angelic, you know, some of the angels there, but totally ignored. And I went, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Kind of like backed out, you know. Okay, sorry, you know. And that was a very interesting experience. And then, too, you talked about this counterfeit. I got a chance to glimpse what actually looked like a counterfeit courtroom where a son of man was actually signing decrees and, you know, agreeing with the accuser. And boy, you know, I mentioned that and I got all these gnashing teeth. Just be quiet. But it was interesting.
Oh, yeah. When Jesus talked about in John 10 about those that come in, do not come in through the gate. They come in an illegitimate way. And they are functioning in the realm of the kingdom of God because there are not enough of us who have dealt with the giants and the dragons and the symbols of authority of the enemy in those realms and administrating true government. And so, you know, Jesus said that people would try and get in illegitimately and in a counterfeit way, and they do. You know, that's what they seek to do, and they seek to administer authority, and we need to make sure we take back that ground, that we give them no access and we deal with what they're doing. Sometimes that counterfeit is in the atmosphere of the earth, because ruling spirits and the principalities have set up things there as false kings, and they set up a system of counterfeit government. We have to be aware of that's going on. Now, this is where previously people would intercede, and they would start interceding from earth, trying to remove that stuff from earth. You can't do it. You have to be above it. So that's where we go above that, into our mountains, into the realms of the kingdom of God, from above that. You know, that's where Satan took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms. It wasn't that he was showing him the nations, he was showing him the kingdoms, the governmental spheres of authority in the earth. And we have to make sure that we are above to administer that, not below. You know, so many people have got pretty smashed up and under, because you're under. If you're under something, you can't be ruling above it, no matter what you're trying to do. You know, and I know there was lots of teaching and stuff. You know, if God tells you to do something, then obviously he's going to tell you to do something and you'd be obedient. But I think people took a one-off thing and made a doctrine out of it and made books out of it, and then it became a, you have to do this and you have to map this and you have to do that and you have to do the other. And to be honest, I think we should be very careful about writing books about things that God said, because it may have just been for then, and for us, and it's a maybe a one-off that will never be asked again, rather than, hey, this is something everyone can do all the time. I'll write this book, you read it, you can copy this, and it doesn't work. You know, so many people get disappointed because they try and put into practice something that God said to somebody that they then tried to say everyone can do this when no one else is mandated to do it. And it may have worked then, and God may have had a purpose in it. And I think a lot of the understanding of the spiritual atmospheres was good. Just it stopped short of going into an authority above it, you know, because that revelation probably wasn't there. But rather than for seeking that revelation, it became a earthly, this is what we do here. We prayer walk, we do this. No, I'm not knocking any of those things because I've done all of them and I would still do them if God said. You know, we walked around our footprint here around our area once every day for 7 days because God told us to do it. You know, we've salted things and we've anointed things with oil. We've put things in the ground. You know, we've done prophetic acts. I would never tell anybody else that this is what you have to do to take ground because it was for us. We were mandated to do it, so we did it. I would never create a doctrine about it or tell people that this is what you do to take ground because you have to get your own mandate from God to do it. You know, and unless God mandates you to say, release this for others to do the same, I wouldn't dare to do that. Because I want to make sure that I'm obedient, and I want to help people to be obedient to what God says to them, not to say, oh, well, here's another model that we can follow. Now, the model is we go and we get the revelation from heaven ourselves, and then we do it. Not someone else goes, and they tell us what to do. Because that's just mediatorial, and that's what the enemy would love for us to set up. Structures of government which reflect his government, which is top-down control and manipulation, and not bottom-up releasing people into destiny. You know, and we do have to be aware of the counterfeit and also those within the church who are operating out of other people's mandates rather than their own, and there's a danger in that. Absolutely is. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we've got time for probably one more. Nope.
I'll jump in. Ian Clayton talked about going into the secret place with God, the dark you walk through, and basically spoke face to face with God. Have you had any experience with that?
Yeah, I have. I went into it actually in quite a lot of detail when I posted my testimony of my fast and my encounter over 4 months with the dark cloud recently. So there is a recent YouTube thing, but I had some encounters in our worship times here where I was taken into the darkness. And to start with, it was a little bit like, whoa, what's this? But it wasn't a fearful thing. You know, it was like, this is almost like this is so thick that you can tangibly go through it. And I was aware that I was invited to go through it. Now, this happened for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I got a direct invitation to spend 4 months, which I thought was going to be really, really good. You know, I thought, wow, I'm going to be getting 4 months, and I'm going to be able to engage here and engage there and do this, and it didn't turn out quite like that. You know, it was very much a real deep work of surrender and trust and recognizing my own level of trust with God when I didn't know. Because when I'm in the light and God is speaking to me and I'm getting visions and dreams and I'm going into heaven and I'm having wonderful things, it's like, hey, this is awesome. So for 4 months, I had just darkness, and all I got from God, month one, was be still and know that I'm God. That might sound really easy to be still. I found it really hard. My soul reacted very strongly to that because I couldn't see, and I wasn't getting anything, and my soul reacted, and I want to know. So, God, what are you doing? Be still and know that I'm God. I want to, why do I need to be still? Be still and know that that's all I got. So a whole month of that frustration, you know, and yes, I tried to be still, and there was good things that came out of being still, but my soul was a demonstration that I didn't trust God and as much as I thought. And then the next month, it was, I think it was wait. And that was it, wait. That's all I got for a month. Now, I had 2 years of daily revelations and encounters with heaven, so this was pretty challenging. But I started to cotton on that actually the reality was I didn't trust God the way I thought I trusted him, because I wanted to know. And I needed to know. And then another month went by with, I can't remember what it was now. Rest. Yeah, that was it, rest. So it's like, yeah, rest. Well, how do I rest? I had to enter rest. Now, I'd been into rest. I mean, I knew rest. It was just a different level that I was being challenged about. And so I went through all this. And at the end of it, I went through a death process for everything, you know, which was really, really severe. In the every one of my dreams, my marriage, ketubah with God, my contract, every one of those things died, and I grieved. My spirit grieved. All the dreams, all the things that God had for me, all the things that my expectations of God, you know, died. And at the end of it, I laid it on an altar and I burnt it. Literally, I burnt the whole ketubah with all my dreams and visions. And at that point, I knew that I trusted God and he trusted me. Because my relationship with him was not based on what I could do for him or what he could do for me. It was not based on anything about doing. It was all about being and all about knowing him as friend, as father, as Lord, as all the things, just knowing him. And therefore, I know if I never did another thing to outwork the purposes of God for my life, God would still love me. And he knows that if he never did another thing for me, I'd still love him. But it took me 4 months of darkness to get to that point, and it was a very, very challenging time. And this was in 2011-12. Started in November 2011, went into February 2012, and out of that was birthed the transformation series that I did. Because I learned a whole lot about transforming and transformation of the soul, and a whole lot about dealing with the dividing soul and spirit and thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that led me into dealing with trading. It led me into dealing with the separation of bone and marrow and DNA transformation and seed line stuff, because now I really was open and able to receive that and outwork it. And yes, I did get to go through that dark cloud, and I saw the face of God. And I knew enough from Ian Clayton not to look into his eyes. And I looked at one facet of one diamond face on his face, and that was so much that I just was out of there. My spirit received revelation, but I could not, even having gone through 4 months of stuff, it was almost like, wow, this is just... So I was out there, and I've been back. But, yeah, it's a pretty intense place. I think it's up into the realm of perfection. That was where I think I went to experience it, and it was intense. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to go through that sort of level of experience, but I wouldn't want to go in there without... I know Ian Clayton talked about having 12 months of having to deal with people's accusations and his attitude to them that brought him through that dark cloud, because that was his test, I guess. Maybe this was my test. Do I trust him? And, you know, now I know I do. I thought I did before. That's just a different level. You know? So that's my personal experience of it, anyway. Would I encourage people to pursue going there by faith? Or no, I wouldn't. If you're not invited, or if you really don't feel your spirit leading you to go there, don't put yourself through it. You know, because it will be a process. That dark, some people call it the dark long night of the soul, or the dark night of the soul. I mean, there's descriptions of what it feels like. Sometimes people describe it as the cold north coming down out of the wind out of the north. I mean, it's just, it's an intensely deep thing. But I do believe God does want us to go through it, but at the right time. So be open for it, and if you feel you get the invitation, just, you know, be aware that it could be pretty intense.
You would think, you know, it's a treasured thing.
Yeah, I would not give up that time now. If I had my time over, I would go through it again. You know, it's something that is vital. I saw it on my Scroll of Destiny. I think Ian is describing it as the fiery sword encounter. I saw it on my Scroll of Destiny as a flame that everything in my life was leading up to, and then everything afterwards was coming out of, and it was like that. It was a pretty intense encounter. I think I saw it, I don't know what how it was described on my scroll, was the eternal flame. That's what it was. It was a blue, intensely blue flame that I saw on the scroll, and that's what it felt like, pretty intensely hot, in a way of describing it. But it takes you to another level. If I didn't go through it, I wouldn't be where I am now and doing what I am doing now. But you know, if your desires of your heart are leading towards it, then go for it. But don't just go for it because you might be curious. Because you wouldn't get through it if that's the motivation of your heart. You have to be knowing that you're called to engage it. I would say anyway. Okay. All right. Okay. Well.